From the 1940s to the 1960s, There Goes That Song Again with Brian Crabb on 2RRR.
Regular listeners will be very familiar with that ID for There Goes That Song Again. It's the voice of longtime commercial radio presenter Kevin O'Neill. Well, as I mentioned in the first hour, I have some very sad news this week. Kevin died last Friday at the age of 79. I'm particularly sad as Kevin was a very close friend. Kevin had a long career in commercial radio beginning in 1960. Some listeners to There Goes That Song Again will recall that Kevin was the congenial presenter in the 1990s and early 2000s of a Sunday night program on 2KY called All Time Favourites, in which he played similar music to that which you hear on this program. In recent years, he survived a number of health issues, but had been in and out of hospital over the past several months with the one which was to take his life. I visited Kevin in hospital on the Central Coast a week ago to say goodbye to him. In tribute to him today on There Goes That Song Again, I'm replaying as our special a one-hour program that I first aired in 2019, in which Kevin talks extensively about his career in radio, and we hear some of his favourite recordings, as well as some others as appropriate. Here is that program.
Community Radio, 88.5, 2RRR.
Today, in this one-hour special, I'm very pleased to welcome a radio man who's become a good friend. He is Kevin O'Neill. Kevin commenced in radio in 1960, although that was in country radio, and he was not heard in Sydney radio until later. His radio career spanned more than 40 years, first took him to several stations in rural New South Wales and Victoria, and to Melbourne before he came to Sydney radio in 1975. He's perhaps best known to Sydney listeners for his programs playing music, mainly from the 1940s, 50s and 60s. They were Jukebox Saturday Night on 2WS from 1982 to 1985 and All Time Favourites on Sunday nights on 2KY in the 1990s and early 2000s.
And a very good evening, music lovers. I'm Kevin O'Neill and welcome to the All Time Favourites.
I spoke to Kevin at his home recently about his long radio career. It represents what was probably a typical career path for a lot of people in commercial radio in that period. We'll hear that interview today, and we'll also include some songs that Kevin has chosen, mostly from 1960. Welcome to our program, Kevin.
Well, hello, Brian, and thanks very much for having me on your program. I feel very humbled to think you've included me in a group that I considered my peers, people that were a generation or two ahead of me, voices from the golden era of radio, I suppose, when radio announcers became household names. Although I commenced my career at the tail end of their careers, some were still having an input in one form or another. Two that I will mention shortly changed my career, and names that will be quite familiar to you too as well, Brian. And also a big thanks for allowing me to choose a few songs that will fit in with what we're doing here today. And I promise not to jar your audience too much, Brian, with any Little Richard or people like that. But ultimately, it's our music that you and I grew up with. And aren't you glad we lived through a great era of music? All right, now, what about this one first up? Speaking of music, seeing I was born in 1944, here's a great hit from that year and number one hit on the then-new Rhythm and Blues chart in Billboard magazine. It's Ella Fitzgerald and the Inkspots with Cow Cow Boogie.
Out on the plains, down near Santa Fe, I met a cowboy right in the range one day, and as he jogged along, I heard him singing a most peculiar cowboy song. It was a ditty he learned in the city. Come a ta ay come a ta yippee ay.
Get along. Get hip, little dog. Get along. Better be on your way. Get along. Get hip, little doggy. And he trucked him on down that old fairway, singing his cow-cow boogie in the strangest way. coming to ya, ya, yeah. Coming to yip till ya, yeah.
Singing his cowboy songs, he's just too much. He's got a knocked out western accent with a Harlem touch. He was raised on local weed. He's what you call the swing half breed. Singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come at the aye aye, come at the yippee aye. Get along, you better be on your way. Get along, get hip, little doggy, as he tucked it on down the old fairway, singing the cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Coming to ya, ya, yeah, coming to yip, to the ya, yeah. Singing his cowboy songs, he's just too much. He's got to knock that western accent with a Harlem touch.
That cat was raised on loco weed. Jackie's what you call a swing half-breed.
Singing his cow, cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a die, come a die, yippee, aye.
Come a die, come a die, yippee, aye.
Get along, little doggy, better be on your way.
Well, let's start by going back to the beginning of your radio career, Kevin. Could you tell us what attracted you to a career in radio in the first place?
Well, earliest memories and influences are a little vague here now, Brian, but I would say having music in the home was a starting point. My father was a musician. He played saxophone and clarinet. He had a collection of records, mainly jazz and swing and trios, quartets and quintets. He didn't mind the big bands, but preferred the swing groups. Benny Goodman and Artie Shaw were among others of his favourites, and my mother also bought records as well. She had a collection from her teens that somehow came from Scone to Sydney and finally finished up at Padstow. How she managed that, I got no idea. And as you remember, Brian, 10 78 RPM discs weighed a ton, so... With Mum, I heard the popular hits of the day. Elmer's Tune and Woody Woodpecker Song were among some of the earliest memories of hearing some of the hits. Then by the 50s, everything changed, probably the most exciting decade in music ever. I started school late 40s, but in the first half of the 50s, we heard music from Guy Mitchell, Perry Como, Stan Freberg, Eddie Fisher, and the second half, well, as you know, it all changed again quite rapidly. But it was then my fascination with music, in particular the actual record, really started to pick up. Earliest memories here was with my family at a small party, watching this little record called Rock Around the Clock being played on a small record player. By then I was besotted with the 7-inch 45. Then radio changed, suddenly announcers became disc jockeys, well, some did. This was about 1958, 59, and I knew then I wanted to play these little things at a radio station. The years 1956 through to 1959 were very impressionable years for me. I was really starting to take notice of music being played on the radio. I knew where and at what time to hear the latest hits. I used to visit radio stations to see if I could have a look at these records being played. I started to buy records with some pocket money and a little assistance from my parents, and the first 7-inch 45 record I ever bought was Secretly, followed closely by Little Star. Now, I could play these little things at home on a 3-speed record player as well. Much to my delight and much to my father's disgust, I had enough information on how to become a disc jockey. My father had different ideas on a career path, but looking back, because he was a musician, he probably understood my interest. I left school at the end of 1959 and then into the big, wide, wonderful world and a search for a start at a radio station, and it all happened within a year.
Why must I meet you in a secret rendezvous? Why must we steal away to steal a kiss or two? Why must we wait to do the things we want to do?
Wish I might make this wish come true tonight.
our special today here on 2RRR, I'm talking to Kevin O'Neill about his more than 40-year career in commercial radio. I next asked Kevin about how he got his start in radio.
Well, I actually can't recall the chain of events that led me on the path to become a radio announcer, but I can recall moments that would eventually lead me to where I wanted to be. My parents lived at Castle Hill when the area was still quite rural. A trunk call to Parramatta, would you believe? Generally 5 acres, and one of our neighbours was a man by the name of Bob Pollard. He lived within walking distance from us. My father had heard that he was a radio man, and given my interest, my dad paid him a visit and asked some general questions about how to start. And through that meeting and some of my own sniffing around, I discovered another former announcer was conducting a voice school, teaching people most aspects of learning to be in radio. His name was Eric Wright. More on that in a moment, though. But by now I had left school, and it was the end of 1959, and we're into 1960. I had placed my name with every single radio station, hoping to start as an office boy. In the meantime, I found an office boy's job at Columbia Pictures in Pitt Street. I have pleasant memories being there with some nice people and a few freebies to movie premieres. Our Man in Havana was one I recall, and the other was Porgy and Bess. But then about middle 1960, 2GB contacted me with an invitation to start as an office boy, which I eagerly accepted. And it was at 2GB that the radio bug really started to bite. One of the many people I met there was a former pupil of Eric Wright's announcing school. He had just returned to Sydney after doing a stint as 2BE breakfast announcer in Bega. So one thing led to another, and I began a 12-week course with the ultimate goal of becoming an announcer. Eric's radio class was in the 2KY studios at King's Cross, twice a week, Tuesday evening and Saturday afternoon, as I recall. Fond memories from this time, too. There were 4 of us in this class, and one of the other pupils was none other than Ward Austin, or Ward Gargan, as he was then. Ward was an enthusiastic student, keen to learn and get out there, on the air. The other 2 in the class, one who turned out to be a lifelong friend and sometimes work colleague, was Keith Chalmers. And the 4th person, I can only recall his first name was Ken, Canadian person, I think, did eventually spend time at 2TM in Tamworth. So back to the man I met at 2GB. To cut a long story short, between him and his friendship with Eric and a previous association with 2BE Bega, a little reel of tape was recorded with samples of my work, mainly reading and advertising spots and reading short news stories that were sent to 2BE. And lo and behold, I got the vacancy. I got a job in radio as an announcer. I'm 16 and a half, Brian. No idea where Bega was or how to get there. My father was hesitant. My mother's hair went white overnight. It was what I wanted, and they let me go and see if it was what I really wanted. I journeyed to Cooma on the Eden Monaro Express and then a surface coach across to Bega and was taken to a prearranged boarding house with other young men. The house was owned by a Mrs. Underwood, and she was the best away-from-home mother anyone could wish for. And this was September 1960, and I was on my way. A small station in a small country town, but that's the way it was back then. Find your feet first, then progress to the next step on the ladder. I can remember starting as an afternoon announcer, some evening work and lots of work on the weekends. In fact, I did all of Sunday. The station didn't start transmission until 8:30 a.m., cease at 1 p.m. and reopen at 6 and close at 10 p.m. We would broadcast ABC News 3 times a day. The station was a very small operation with a studio, library and transmitter all in a small building a mile or two on the edge of town in a very open, large paddock. Cows were very friendly visitors then. I was too young to drive, so they gave me a bicycle. And can remember being set upon by dogs and swooping magpies. There was an office in town, and someone would bring the daily advertising schedule out to the studio. So that's the way it all started for me, Brian. It was radio, and I was having the time of my life. My first ever girlfriend was a Bega girl. 1960 was certainly a year to remember for me.
forget. The year of 59 made all the hops and had a swingin' time, moving and a grooving with Mary Lou. And who had Peggy Sue? That was a very, very, very good year for girls. A very, very, very good year for girls. But baby, since we met, it's gonna be the best year yet.
Well, 59 was great, we know, but how did 1960 go?
Oh, what a year.
Oh, what a year.
My heart was in a whirl, cause every day I met a cuter girl. Call her up, make a date, off we go. But baby, even though that was a very, very, very good year for girls, a very, very, very good year for girls, but baby, since we met, it's gonna be the best year yet.
What say we stay in 1960 musically for our next couple of songs, Brian? Two of my all-time favourite music people both had great hits in 1960. Fats Domino was one, and the other I consider the best female singer in every way possible, Dinah Washington.
And I tell you why, I'll find one gonna treat me right, gonna treat me right. You done me wrong, stole my love and gone. I just can't go on, I just can't go on. You can go on, baby, baby, that's all right. I'll find one gonna treat me right, gonna treat me right.
There goes that song again, 2RRR 88.5 FM.
This bitter earth, well, what the fruit it bears, what good is love? That no one shares. And if my life is like the dust, ooh, that hides the glow of a rose, what good am I? Heaven only knows. Lord, this bitter earth, yes, can be so cold. Today you're young, too soon
old. But while a voice within me cries, I'm sure someone may answer my call, and this bitter earth, ooh, may not, oh, be so bitter after all.
In tribute to longtime commercial radio presenter Kevin O'Neill, who died last Friday, I'm replaying as our special today a one-hour program first aired in 2019. Kevin is talking about his extensive career in radio, and we're hearing some of his favourite recordings, as well as some others that I thought appropriate. After the break, he tells us where he went after his first job at 2BE Bega.
What's in a name? Oh, whole bunch when it comes to entertainment. That's 2RRR, or that comfortable spot on your radio band, 88.5 FM.
There goes that song again with Brian Crabb.
Kevin O'Neill tells us more about the early days of his radio career.
Okay, the 1960s, my first decade in radio. I left 2BE in March of 1961. No particular reason, except it was mainly being a little homesick, I guess. It wasn't long, though, before I was back on the air. This time it was 2VM Moree. It was much further from my parents' home in Castle Hill, and I was literally going from the bottom of the state to the top of the state. Get into radio and see Australia, somebody once told me. And Moree became my new home for most of the 60s. I was doing what I wanted to do, it was still radio, and I was just content to do my job, and before too long I became one of the locals in Moree. I'm pretty sure I didn't have any ambitions back then, just happy to be in radio. At night, you could sit in your car and dial twist and hear all the big city stations. I never applied to any of them then, just happy to listen to them and maybe copy a thing or two. But towards the end of the 60s, all that comfort zone changed very swiftly. Two young Victorians came to 2VM straight from announcing school in Melbourne, and both had told me of this great radio station in central Victoria that they wanted to go to. And sure enough, one by one, they made it to 3CV Maryborough, and then did a good job convincing the management that they should hire me as well. And that's exactly what happened. So time to pack the bags again, load up the car, and head to central Victoria in October of 1968. No regrets there, but it was like jumping out of a Mini into a Jaguar, a vastly different radio station from Moree. Very modern equipment and a full-on top 40 radio station. It was the kickstart I needed for my career, I think. Without those two guys pushing me, I probably would have stayed at Moree for many more years. But the seed was planted and I wanted more. I thought I was good enough to try Sydney via one of the big stepping stones, which was 2WG Wagga. I applied for a job and, much to my amazement, I got it. Not any ordinary job, but the breakfast announcer at 2WG Wagga Wagga. Then I wanted the big time, no doubt about that. I applied to every Sydney and Melbourne radio station with an audition tape, as we called them back then, and one came good, and that was 3XY in Melbourne. An interview with the program manager over the phone, and I was given a start with four shifts a week. That was in February of 1970.
Misty. That's the way I want to be loved. Alone, just my lonely heart knows how I want to be wanted right now. Not tomorrow, but right now. My tears with someone I know I'd love to spend a million years with. Where is this someone somewhere meant for me?
Alone,
just my lonely heart knows how I want to be wanted
right now.
Not tomorrow, but right now. I want to be wanted. I want someone to share my laughter and my tears with.
There goes that song again, 2RRR 88.5 FM.
Well, now it takes more than a robin to make the weather go, and it takes two lips of fire to melt away the snow.
But it takes two hearts of cooking. You know it takes a lot of kissing.
Tell me about it.
To make a romance sweet. Ooh, it takes a lot of loving to make my life complete.
And it takes a lot, woman, to knock me off my feet. And baby, you've got what it takes. You know you've got just what it takes, because it takes more than an effort to stay away from you. It takes more than a lifetime to prove that I'll be true.
Takes somebody special to make me say I do. And baby, you've got what it takes. To stay away from you.
I can't stay away. Come on, let's just...
It takes more than a lifetime, Daddy,
yeah,
to prove that I'll be true. Now it's you.
But it takes somebody special,
like me, baby,
to make me say I do.
And baby,
baby,
you've got what it takes. Say it again.
Come on, let's do it one more time, all right?
And baby,
baby,
you've got what it takes.
On our special today here on 2RRR, I'm talking to Kevin O'Neill about his 40-plus years in commercial radio. It was now the beginning of a new decade, the 1970s, and Kevin felt he was ready to try City Radio. He received an offer to go to 3XY in Melbourne.
Yeah, 3XY was being transformed into a top 40 radio station. There was a new program manager. He was hiring new disc jockeys and implementing a new format. And it was just what I wanted, actually. I was young, doing top 40 radio and having the time of my life, as usual. My private life was undergoing a few changes too, so reluctantly I headed back to Sydney at the end of 1971 to spend time with my parents. But radio was always there, and through a contact I was back in radio at 2LT Lithgow. Management moved me on to another of their radio stations, which was 2KA Katoomba, and that was actually closer to my home at Lawson on the Blue Mountains. But that fell apart quite quickly too. And I wanted something new, and through yet another contact I applied and was hired by TUE Sydney as a floater announcer, but mainly overnights, sporting and weekends. The important thing here, though, was TUE, which was Australia's premier radio station at the time.
This is the floater, TUE, Channel 95, where you're hearing things, where you're hearing.
Things weren't changing at TUE for me as quickly as I liked, and I became a little restless, and then yet another friend said, why not try 2GZ Orange? Also then, a station held in high regard. So I took that job, and left the big city behind, and headed to the very cool, clean air of the Central Tablelands of New South Wales. I was their breakfast announcer and part-time TV voiceover announcer at CBN Channel 8. But by this stage in life, I thought I would have a crack at something overseas, broadcasting mainly, so as many young Australians did before me and are still doing, I packed my bags and headed to London.
England swings like a pendulum do. Bobby's on bicycles two by two. Westminster Abbey, the Tower of Big Ben, the rosy red cheeks of the little children. Now if you huff and puff and you finally save enough money, if you take your family on a trip across the sea, take a tip before you take your trip. Let me tell you where to go. Go to England, oh. England swings like a pendulum do. Bobby's own bicycles two by two. Westminster Abbey, the Tower of Big Ben, the rosy red cheeks of the little children. Mama's old pajamas and your papa's mustache, falling out the windowsill, frolic in the grass, trying to mock the way they talk fun, but all in vain. Gaping at the dapper men with derby hats and canes. England swings like a pendulum do. Bobby's own bicycles two by two. Westminster Abbey, the Tower of Big Ben, the rosy red cheeks of the little children. England swings like a pendulum do. Bobby's own bicycles two by two. Westminster Abbey, the Tower of Big Ben, the rosy red cheeks of the little children.
I tried hard, but was very difficult in a very much closed market. I was just one of many with the same idea. But in time, I could have worked in radio, but the Brits were very cautious about hiring the Australian accent, and commercial or private radio was new then in Britain, and they thought we knew how to run commercial radio better than them. But nonetheless, I had 9 months in Britain and touring Europe, and a great time in my life. My friends at 2GZ hadn't forgotten me, and they desperately wanted me back, so I returned to 2GZ Orange at the end of 1977, stayed 12 months, no regrets here either, a great radio station, and I made a lot of wonderful friends. But ultimately, I wanted to return to Sydney, and I did that in October of 1978 at the radio station that was to become a second home in many ways, 2KY.
to do is try not to think about you. Oh, yeah. Oh, lady, not. Oh, yeah.
In tribute to longtime commercial radio presenter Kevin O'Neill, who died last Friday, I'm replaying as our special today a one-hour program first aired in 2019. Kevin is talking about his extensive career in radio, and we're hearing some of his favourite recordings, as well as some others that I thought appropriate.
You're listening to There Goes That Song Again with Brian Crabb on 2RRR 88.5 FM.
Well, as I moved into the 1980s and still at 2KY, and I suppose mostly enjoying myself, I was still young and always on the lookout for another challenge, and that did happen mid-1980. FM radio was about to become a reality for commercial radio in Australia. Very interested, so I applied with hundreds of other announcers for a position, and much to my amazement and joy, I was successful and part of the original announcing team at Today FM. Unfortunately, FM radio wasn't for me. On the move again, and revisited two of my old favourites, 2KA and 2UE, and then by a stroke of good timing, I landed at 2WS. I spent just on 4 very enjoyable years at 2WS, which also created one of my radio highlights, and that was to present Jukebox Saturday Night. And that was the beginning of my love affair with old music radio programs.
Mopping up soda pop rickies to our heart's delight.
Dancing to the swingaroo quickies, Jukebox Saturday Night.
Goodman and Kaiser and Miller help to make things bright.
Mixing hot licks with vanilla, Jukebox Saturday Night. They put nothing past us,
me and Honey Lamb.
Making one coke last us
till it's time to scram.
Money we really don't need that,
we make out all right.
Let the other guy feed that Jukebox Saturday Night.
After sipping a soda we got a scheme. Somebody else plays the record machine. It's so easy to say pet names when you listen to the trumpet of Harry James.
Was the beginning of my love affair with old music radio programs. but good things come to an end, and on the move again, been back to TUE briefly, and then in late 1986 I commenced at 2KY for the second time, and what was to become my final radio home until 2004. 2KY will always be a highlight in my career. I was lucky enough to be able to create the Sunday night program All Time Favourites while I was there. It was a nostalgia music program featuring mostly the hits from the 1940s, 50s and 1960s.
And a very good evening, music lovers. I'm Kevin O'Neill and welcome to the All Time Favourites.
Fools rush in where angels fear to tread, and so I come to you, my love, my heart above my head. Though I see the danger there, if there's a chance for me, then I don't care. Fools rush in where wise men never go, but wise men never fall in love, so how are they to know? When we met, I felt my life begin. So open up your heart and let this fool rush in. Where wise men never go, but wise men never fall in love, so how are they to know? When we met, I felt my life begin. So open up your heart and let this fool rush in. Just open up your heart and let this fool rush in. Well, open up your heart and let this fool rush in.
And Ricky Nelson got us underway here tonight. That one out of 1963 for Ricky, called Fools Rush In, or Eric Hilliard Nelson, son of band leader Ozzie Nelson and singer Harriet Hilliard. Rick and his brother David appeared on the Nelsons radio show from March of 1948, and then later on television, where it had a long run from 1952 to 1966, and you probably saw that in the early days of our black and white television. Ricky Nelson, Fools Rush In. In the city at 6 tonight, the temperature is 19 degrees. That's 2 above the average, and 36% humidity, 20 degrees. Bankstown also 20 degrees in Richmond. It's 9 minutes past 6. Here's Frank Sinatra in the All-Time Favourites.
I had some surprisingly good survey results with this program. It was a new format for Australian radio, and it caught on, and the program grew. There were some successful years throughout the 1990s with the ratings, and as an added bonus to the Sunday night program, I also continued my love affair with old music with 6 hours early Saturday mornings with a pop hits program from music from the 1950s and 1960s, where I called myself Mr. Rock and Roll. Okay, the 2KY years, they were very kind to me. Right place, right time. But change is never far away in radio, as you've probably gathered by now. The early 2000s saw 2KY move more into TAB racing, and it was obvious there wasn't any room for other programming. Just wall-to-wall racing, as it turned out, so retirement looked like an option, so I took it, but did continue working with another form of media, and that was market research at News Poll for the next 5 years. Also, 2KY and the all-time favourites will be fondly remembered, where you and I first formed our friendship there, Brian. Maybe you'd like to continue the story and tell how that all came about.
Well, thanks, Kevin. I first met you in 1997 after I made contact on behalf of Frankie Lane. I had visited Frank at his home in San Diego, and he was keen to get some airplay in Australia for some new songs that he'd just recorded. So I wrote to the three Sydney radio presenters whom I thought could be interested, Bob Rogers at 2CH, George Gibson at 2UE, and Kevin at 2KY. All three responded positively, and that initial contact led to my becoming good friends with both Bob and Kevin. Well, here's part of the interview that I arranged for Kevin to do with Frankie Lane back then.
2KY and the all-time favourites, and that was Frankie Lane with I Believe. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the all-time favourites is proud to have as special guests on this Sunday night in Sydney, Australia, it's Good Evening in San Diego, USA, to Frankie Lane.
Hi. First, how you doing?
I'm all right. First of all, on behalf of your many fans here in Australia and listeners to the program, the all-time favourites, may I wish you a happy 85th birthday for tomorrow. How will you be celebrating, Frankie?
Well, I did a concert this afternoon for a whole bunch of the British fans, about 100 of them that came over from England, and about 100 of them that came from various parts of this country. And tomorrow, they're giving me a great big... healthy birthday party dinner.
What's your recipe for a long life?
Well, if I knew, I'd bottle it.
Well, I think you have the right star sign. My birthday follows yours in 4 days' time. I hope I'm still playing records at 85.
That's great.
85 tomorrow, that in itself is an achievement, but no doubt there have been many great achievements during your remarkable career, Frankie. What moment readily comes to your mind?
I've been very lucky in many ways. I think the high point is my wife meeting Nan in 1948, because she became a fan of That's My Desire. And I think another high point was the first time that one artist had both records on the charts, one and two, two different times. I think another high point was doing the Command performance in 1954 and getting to meet Queen Elizabeth. And, oh golly, so many others. But I'd say those are three very high points for me.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why I believe. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky,
With Kevin's agreement, I played that program today in tribute to him. I will certainly miss him as a close friend, but his voice will live on as we continue to hear in most weeks his identification announcements for There Goes That Song Again. I'm Brian Crabb. I hope you'll join me next week on Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon or on Friday from 2 till 4 p.m. for more of the great music of the 1940s, 50s and 60s here on There Goes That Song Again on 2RRR.
Community Radio 88.5, 2RRR.